Judge not before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's epistle may not seem very Christmassy, but it is, and ancient too. The same one read in the first centuries during the Saturday all-nighter or Panuchus, which was the custom of the early church, the vigil which led finally to Holy Mass being offered before dawn, and then the ordination of priests. This epistle was read then because it applies to priests. It's Advent still, of course, and we remember that this season comes to prepare all of us for Christ's second coming, which will be at our second judgment, the general. If we get into the habit of unkindly judging our neighbor, the same measure will come back to us again at the last day. St. Paul says he doesn't care what the Corinthians think about him, but we must all care what God thinks about us, that a man be found faithful. There was a traveler in the 19th century who got sick and then very sick and was holed up in a hotel in Dublin. In danger of death, he asked for a priest, and it was the classic stormy night. There was rain and wind, and the streets back then were filthy as well as muddy. The priest came through it all, an older man, to give this man the last rites. The manager of the hotel was a Protestant fellow and a pleasant man. He made some small talk with the priest after he had concluded his visit, and then finally asked him if he wouldn't care for a bit of refreshment. Now, refreshment is Irish code for a drink. If you would like a little bit of refreshment before going back into the storm that night. Then, by way of conversation, he began to talk about the higher clergy of the Catholic Church and the comfortable life they led. Now, for instance, he said, when you are walking through the rain, I'm sure that His Eminence, the Cardinal, was enjoying a pleasant fire in his palace and taking a wee drop himself. Do you think so? Asked the priest. Indeed, I do. Then I am afraid you have the wrong opinion about the cardinal. And why is that? Because, my friend, I am the cardinal. I am Cardinal Cullen. Good to make your acquaintance. The landlord was all confusion, and he sprung to his feet and offered to fetch a carriage immediately for His Eminence, and he said, no, I shall return as I came. I am used to it. Kind thoughts today, then, especially the kind of kind thoughts which come between us and the brain in judging others. The habit of just not judging others is one of the most difficult in the spiritual life to acquire. Just to think about the actions of others seems to demand a verdict of us. And there we are sitting on our high chair, and we've got the black robe on, and we're judge and jury all into one. And as judge, we may be unjust, ignorant, erratic, but no one could ever accuse us of not sticking to our courtroom duties. I know we're tireless, and our court is always in session. And this is the ruin of our souls. Resolve, rid yourself of it now, lest you lose your sweet Jesus when He comes at the end to be your judge. The standard of the last judgment He Himself gives us in the Holy Gospel, and it is absolute. the measure you have meted out to others. That's it. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Your attitude in this tells you where you're heading right now. Now, it's impossible all at once to stop a lifetime habit of judging, just as it is impossible for us to go on with our lives judging uncharitably, whatever to do. Fortunately, there's a kind of in-between state, a limbo, if you will. However, to get there does demand some imagination and determination. And this is the art of kind interpretation. Man's actions can be very difficult to judge, to weigh. It's complicated, but not for us. Ah, no. Anybody could see it. We see it. Case closed. Guilty. And may God have mercy on your soul. Ah, wait a minute. Who's that coming into the courtroom? Comes Daniel, God's judge, great name. And he just has a question or two for you. What happens? Your case falls apart in an instant. And you think to yourself, why didn't I see that? Always distrust very plain cases, said a legal writer once. And always trust the justice of God, says a spiritual writer, the little flower, Saint Therese. His justice knows my story, all of the ins and outs and the complications and the explications and the rest, and I can count on his mercy. Imitate him. Join God's legal team today. Oh, if you're working in law, that means long hours. Yes, but there's great pay and benefits. Your job? To imitate the all-merciful ingenuity of our Creator in finding excuses for his creatures. But what about justice? God is so merciful precisely because he is so just. The habit of judging is built in us. And it will take everything you've got to get it out. Kind interpretations, then. We clergy often say among ourselves, well, I'm sure he meant well. And that is, I confess, at times a bit tongue-in-cheek. But it is no joke to hold the opposite. I mean, to be all the time condemning everybody else as guilty, and we think this and that. It's hard, of course, because you see what you see, and you hear what you hear. And there are times you wish you didn't, or could press the delete button for your mind and for your memory. In any case, if you keep track of it, you will find that kind interpretations are correct, the big picture, more often than not. They did mean well, after all. Grace abounds and is far more common than we give God credit for, even in the worst of men. Why, you'd find something good to say about the devil himself, said a woman once to her friend, frustrated, and it is frustrating, isn't it? Frustrated when she wouldn't join in the party of condemnation. And her friend, the other lady, just smiled and said, well, he is hardworking, you know. You have to give him credit for that. But things are so often not what they appear to be. Judge not before the time. When we accuse others, just in thought we're talking today, just in thought, we are often, they say, accusing ourselves. Best, while you can, to dismiss the charges with prejudice. But yes, it is a big undertaking. Father Faber says, nothing less, in the case of most of us, this business about not judging anymore, of judging kindly, it's nothing less than living a new life in a new world. Mars, perhaps, with Elon Musk, one of his fancy cars going to go up there to Mars. Or, closer to home, the Great Reset. They, too, are indefatigable, tireless. Omricon is only their latest offering, a little something for Christmas to cheer you on your way. It's an anagram, you know, and it spells out otherwise moronic. Nothing to see here. Move on. But in these sermons, we want to see and to consider not this world, but the other world, the real one, which waits for each one of us, regardless. What do you do about all the bitterness you accumulate in your heart over a lifetime? There's no room for criticism and bitterness in heaven. That, along with popularity and power and money, you can't take them with you. Heaven's no place for it. Surely purgatory's flames do provide a solution, and it would be a mercy in the big picture of things, but why wait? Why burn with resentment now in this life and then in the flames of purgatory? If I would judge myself now, I should not myself be judged then. St. Paul. Heaven opens at Christmas. What foretaste awaits us? I'll tell you, the thoughts of the most tender and overflowing kindness. Stilla nocta. All is calm. All is bright. There's no room for bitterness at Bethlehem. St. Joseph himself, you know, was troubled at the coldness and the cruelty of the inhabitants of Bethlehem. No room, no room, move on. But one glance at his bride, our Blessed Mother, restored peace to his heart. Look at her often these days. Keep your peace by kindness, and you'll be rehearsing for heaven. You'll be earning it, Father Faber says. How? By imitating God Almighty, in whom we place all of our hopes. And what? He has for us merciful allowance, ingeniously favorable interpretations, thoughts of unmingled kindness. And all of the invention and the toleration of a supreme compassion. God's Son is born to bring it to us. But you mustn't wait until Christmas to open the present, for this is our eternal God in the ever-present now. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.